Let's come to God in prayer now. Let us pray. Holy God, we are your children. We wait with anticipation to hear what you have to say to our hearts this day. Forgive us our wandering thoughts, our confused interpretations. Help us to find ourselves in the story of your Son. For as we come to study your word, we know that there is a word here for each one of us. Open the ears of our hearts and souls that we might hear it, despite our lack of faith and understanding. In Jesus' name, and for his sake alone, we offer all these our prayers. Amen. Well, folks, we are still in November, the season of remembrance, but this is the last Sunday before we start to get involved in the lead up to Christmas. What is it then that we are remembering, each of us, during this month of memories? Well, many of us here have stories to tell about the two world wars, or the more recent wars, and I shared just some of my memories on that subject last week. Some of our stories are sad and difficult to tell. Next week, Alice will tell you a little bit about the situation in Israel-Palestine and what's happening there just now. A difficult story to tell, not a happy one. Last week we talked about the importance of remembering and taking note of these sad things, and our hope is that we can stop them happening in the future, or that we can use our past experiences to ameliorate the difficulties of the present. For me, remembrance is a time, for instance, at All Saints, to think about the members of my family and good friends in a number of congregations that are no longer here on earth with us. It's a time to thank God for everything they did and everything they were to me and mine and to the world at large. November also includes some special dates for my immediate family, my parents' wedding anniversary, my own wedding anniversary, and my birthday. I keep telling people that this year I'm now the subject of a Beatles song that goes like this. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm... You can fill in the blank yourself. It wouldn't be good if I forgot all these events. They help me to understand who I am, for we are the product of our pasts. What happens in our futures and how things happen are often shaped by past events and people, whether our experiences are mainly good ones or the difficult and challenging ones predominate. We have a choice how we use these memories. We have a choice of letting them bring us down or making them somehow work for us and for the good of God's amazing world. When I was first ordained, 25 years ago just now, to university chaplaincy, I saw a great deal of students who came with one complaint or another, and it was usually someone else's fault. Sometimes it was their parents' fault, or an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend's fault, or a tutor's fault, or even God's fault. Among other things we shared in our discussions was the fact that we all have a few so-called skeletons in our cupboards. And we have a choice what we do with those experiences, good, not so good, or downright bad. We are responsible for what we do with the time allotted to us on this earth. We can't keep on laying the blame at the door of someone else, for God is calling us to get on with it, to answer our calling, whatever that might be, and to work at it until the kingdom comes and all will become clear. The problem for us is that we don't know when that is going to be. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica was noting that some of the Christians there had decided that since the second coming of Christ was imminent, that they were just going to give up work, stop planning for the future in any kind of sensible way. I'm sure at some point in your life you may have had a conversation that goes something like this. If you knew the world was going to end tomorrow, what would you do? The answer for some of these Christians was basically, well, I will just please myself. Paul is telling the Christians of those days to keep on working towards the kingdom, not to give up, for all time is in God's hand, and only God knows how and when the kingdom will be realised. I'm sure all of you will have watched at some point one of those apocalyptic type films where everyone goes crazy with selfishness because they think the world is going to end. The heroes of the stories are always those who give up their own comfort and safety to help others by continuing to care despite the fact that it seems to be futile. Sometimes these people die in the process, but their goodness, their good deeds, their tenacity, and their hard work in loving others always has a positive conclusion. These two readings at first sight are not filled with comfort and cheer. In particular, the one from Luke is downright scary. But it's vitally important that we pay close attention to this reading as we approach the season of Advent. Why? Well, soon we will begin to hear some of the voices of the prophets, and many of them could rightly be called indeed prophets of doom. But this reading, for all its scary predictions, is simply describing the way the world is. It's all in there. Anything you may have heard in the news, or in the pages of the history books, or the very worst of your own experiences. Two lines in particular from today's readings stand out for me, from Luke's Gospel, the new RSV version. Brothers and sisters, do not weary in doing right. And from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, by your endurance you will gain your souls. What we have heard read today is not a negative message. It is in fact a radical message of hope. Jesus is telling us not to be afraid, not to be worried, that all time is in God's hands, and that no matter what we see of horrors or terrors, that God is in charge. Jesus is telling us that trouble is normal. Of course, for his contemporaries, all they had to deal with was their own small part of the world. But for us, this passage is even more vitally important because we are bombarded day and daily with bad news from all over the world. And so while he reminds us of the divisiveness of a gospel that is radically different from anything the world had known up until that point, he tells us too that it's a gospel not of judgment but of love and forgiveness. He exhorts us not to be distracted from our task by worries and fears. We are to keep the faith in the face of whatever comes, to not be weary in doing good, for it will have its own rewards. There was a fabulous t-shirt kicking about for a while that I loved. On the front it said, "Jesus is coming," and on the back the words in bold bore a simple message, "Look busy." Amen. Thanks be to God.